Ian Harrison from AP in Toronto joins us. Ian, definitely been a roller coaster season, and the Jays bats, which were on fire, and we knew couldn't stay that red hot. Just they haven't been able to save the pitching. The Jays pitching, I knew it wasn't very good, but man, in the last week and a half, the wheels have completely fallen off.
Yeah, the last game here before they hit the road definitely left a bit of a sour taste, I would say, in the memories of fans with Matt Boyd making his second major league start and not getting anybody out. And then we saw a couple of games in Detroit where they gave up a lot of runs before rescuing the finale of that series. But definitely both in the rotation and in the bullpen, you know, that has been the big thorns in the side of this team in terms of, moving up ahead of the pack in the AL East. It is just a big pack, as you mentioned, that is kind of clumped up right now. And how that's going to shake out in the second half, you know, obviously that's the big focus now with the trade deadline just a few weeks away and a lot of attention focused on what Alex Anthopoulos will be able to do in order to improve. Probably the starting rotation will be his first choice of things to improve when he goes shopping around at the trade deadline, but we'll see what happens.
Well, speaking of that trade deadline, you look at the AL East, and this year, it's clearly there for the taking. And the Jays hitters are on fire. Is this something that's going to last for the next 3 or 4 years? Probably not. So if you're Anthopoulos, you've got to go now. Do you not, Ian? And, have you heard, is there any specific pitchers they'd be targeting?
There has been a bit of noise in the last couple of days about the fact that Jeff Samardzija from the White Sox, who the Blue Jays will play tonight. Samardzija's not pitching tonight, but a guy who just signed there on a one-year deal. He might be available because, the White Sox have just not been able to put it together this year. And because he's not signed long term, you would presume that he would not cost as much. So that might be an attractive trade partner for the Blue Jays as they pursue this these upgrades here. I agree with you when you say, you got to take the shot. I think, the way things are going, that one player might be enough to vault you up in the standings and put you over the top here. And obviously, as you say, this offense is just, historically good. So to let that kind of performance, go by without really making a serious play for the postseason and really putting everything you have into it would really seem to be a big waste. So, yeah, and then, on top of that, of course, is the whole – situation hanging over the future of the Blue Jays executive side of things, where there is this possibility that there will be change at the top and then change throughout the organization if a new president comes in. So certainly by that standpoint as well, you would expect Alex Anthopoulos to be a little bit more motivated to try and reach the playoffs here and perhaps do something to sort of add to his credentials and justify keeping himself around.
You mentioned who might be on their way into Toronto, but on the flip side, Ian, who could you maybe see Anthopoulos sending out of Toronto to try to improve his club right now?
Well, he's long maintained, at least at the major league level, that they would willingly trade catcher Deonna Navarro. I think John Gibbons is a big fan of Navarro, and for obvious reasons, he's a productive hitter, hits from both sides of the plate, is a very capable catcher. So that would be their only sort of area of abundant depth or strength on the major league roster. They're obviously very well stocked in pitching prospects at the minor league level, and there's every reason to think that one of the names that we've heard about coming up through the pipeline might be on the move out of the system there. It certainly seems more likely that a deal would involve more minor leaguers than players from the big league roster. Whether or not Daniel Norris's future is with the Blue Jays, for instance, kind of a little bit up in the air at this point. A guy who, had a sniff of major league time at the start of the year and then has spent the rest of the season in AAA. Maybe he's one of the prospects that another team is interested in acquiring. But you would imagine that they are quite strong in terms of pitching prospects, much stronger in pitching prospects at the minor league level than in position player prospects. And so that's the big area of strength that you would expect them to deal from there.
We're joined by Ian Harrison from AP talking Toronto Blue Jays. They're in Chicago to take on the White Sox tonight. Ian, Josh Donaldson has been fantastic for the Jays. He's an all-star. In your opinion, what's the most underrated part of Donaldson's game?
Maybe his resiliency, if you will. The fact that he is out there all the time. I think, it sort of stands perhaps in a bit of an unfair contrast, but still a very stark contrast to the problems that Brett Laurie faced staying on the field in Toronto, you know, all these muscle strains and oblique injuries and what have you, whereas Johnson has been there, you know, day after day after day, and it's so valuable, especially in a season when we've seen, you know, Jose Bautista forced into the DH role by that shoulder. The idea that, you know, you don't have to worry about putting Josh Donaldson out there and you know, knowing that he's going to be there on a daily basis has been especially helpful. You know, I mean, pretty much every aspect of his game is certainly laudable. You know, an incredible power hitter and a guy who played in a fairly power-unfriendly stadium in Oakland for a while. To see his numbers on the rise here. The defense, you know, he has been guilty of making errors, perhaps, but certainly tremendous, tremendous range at third base. You know, you think of the plays you've seen him make, jumping into the stands and sliding into the wall in foul territory to make catches. Just that range back to third base has been fantastic. But overall, you know, I think just having him there on a day-to-day basis has been the most valuable thing.
Ian Harrison from AP joins us. The Toronto Blue Jays in a dogfight right now in the AL East as we enter into the All-Star break this week. Ian, when we look at the Jays at the closer, that's obviously a hole that they haven't been able to fill. Brett Cecil did not work out very well. Do you think they will still try to tinker from within, or is that something Anthopoulos is going to go out and address before the deadline?
Well, they raised the curious and interesting idea recently of returning Aaron Sanchez to that back of the bullpen role when he comes back from this strained muscle that he's currently dealing with right now. You know, he was so good in that role on a fairly limited basis last year, but, you know, good enough that you would be interested. I mean, obviously, the drawback, of course, is that you take him out of the rotation, and he had been turning into a very capable starting pitcher for the Blue Jays. So, you know, you sort of You strengthen one area while weakening another, so it's a bit of a problem there to figure out where you're best served. The other question is, you know, whether you can continue to use Roberto Osuna in late game situations. And I mean, you know, by and large, Osuna has just been fantastic. I mean, completely unexpected and for the most part for a 20-year-old kid to come up and just be such a dependable bullpen arm, but he has been so good. You know, I'm not sure where that will shake out. I guess, you know, obviously a lot of it will depend on how things come together in the trade market. If the Blue Jays are able to add a starter, then maybe you feel better about moving Sanchez to the back of the bullpen and kind of, you know, shoring everything up that way. If it doesn't work, maybe you have to look in a different area and try to find something because, yeah, you know, it has been a bit of a problem and it's so tough on a team to lose games late like that or whatever. You know, it's just that kind of heartbreak will really eat you up real fast.
When you look at the Blue Jays, Ian, like they're 43 wins, they're two games back of the division lead, but we've talked about how frustrating the first half has been at times for the Blue Jays. What's the fan base feeling about the 2015 season so far? Like, they're still two games back, but they could be playing so much better.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the fans think. I think they're encouraged, but maybe, you know, a little wary, given, you know, you think back to last year and this team was a, you know, competitive team into June and up towards the deadline, and then the bottom kind of fell out in August. So, you know, and obviously the playoff drought being what it is, the longest in baseball, two-plus decades now, you know, I think there's a fairly strong element of show me something before everyone really, really kind of feels comfortable buying in. But having said that, you know, the support is still relatively strong. You know, the numbers have been good. I think back to the candidate they gave him just a few days ago and a full house, lots of red, fans singing an impromptu rendition of O Canada late in the game, a lot of good spirit there. So, you know, I think there is this sort of, you know, as I say, wariness among the fans. They're not sure quite what to believe, and a lot of uncertainty moving forward with this team. But on the whole, definitely a lot of encouraging things. Everybody loves Donaldson. You saw the support he got in All-Star voting, and the offense. Everyone has found it easy to get behind this power-packed team for sure.
Lastly, just not on the Blue Jays, just more on the American League in general. Who, in your opinion, Ian, is the best team representing the American League?
That is a tough one. You know, I struggle to believe in the Astros and the Royals. And, I mean, I struggled to believe in the Royals last year, and they went all the way to Game 7 of the World Series. So who's to say? You know, it's such a tough division in a lot of, or a tough league in a lot of ways, just because, you know, there is a lot of parity almost, but not a clear head and shoulders team that you're just sort of, wow, those guys are definitely the best. You know, that's really difficult. I wonder whether Detroit can get it right, or whether the Angels can get it right, you know. But everybody seems to have a hole somewhere or some aspect of their team that you don't think that, you know, there's a runaway and high team in this league right now, really, you know. And even in the East, I'm not convinced that anyone as currently constructed is you know, good enough to do that. Maybe somebody makes a move at the deadline that really separates them, but right now it's almost too close to call.
Ian, we appreciate it. Should be an excellent second half. We'll see if the Jays can make some moves to actually take hold of that AL East. And I think if they make a move, you're going to think the Yankees and the Orioles and the Rays likely try to counter act that with a trade of their own. So it should be interesting leading up to the deadline.
Indeed. I mean, you know, and it would be nice to see. I mean, maybe the Blue Jays can be that team to kind of elevate themselves. But, yeah, there's probably going to be a reaction, and, you know, you always count on it from the Yankees for sure. So we'll keep our eyes on the Yankees to see how their shopping develops too.